Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's time for Bad here with Marshall and Dave. And I told, oh, there's the intro music. I told Marshall while we were warming up that I wouldn't talk with my southern accent, but I lied. Here we go. So how's your hair there, Marshall?
Well, it's it was dancing up and down to the funky tunes, but now it has lied back down flat.
Is it calming down there? Okay, I promised I wouldn't do this, but promises are made to be broken.
Wise words, Dave.
Did you call me a wise ass just now? Or no, you said wise words, right? Anyway, how y'all doing?
Oh, real good, real good. I'm at an event this evening. I'm kind of hiding in the background. Well, I'm totally hiding in the background. And there's geeks downstairs. I probably should have grabbed one, but I'm excited to do a show just you and me.
What kind of event are you at?
Well, it's a mysterious one. There's a new collaborative workspace that just opened up in Portland, in the building of a big. Well, what do they call themselves? Probably a They're an ad agency, essentially, the biggest ad agency in town called Wieden & Kennedy. I had some extra space, and they opened up a little collaborative workspace / business incubator right downtown. And there's, 13 of us or so that have a desk here. And
what a great
tonight is opening night. Yeah, it's a trippy group.
Pardon me? Oh, it's a good group?
It's a really neat group. There's some of the smartest geeks in town.
Isn't that? I heard about ad agencies. You know, they're downsizing, but they're also creative people. So they think in terms of, where can we find some opportunity in this? And so I've heard about this, that they have like out of work people from the ad business. They just offer them free space, and that way there's some kind of opportunity. But this is nice that you have tech people, or is it? Is it just tech people, or is it all kinds of people?
No, it's just tech people. I mean, it's almost most of the people are engineers, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably the exception.
Like that. It's opening in Berkeley, downtown Berkeley, called The Hub, which will be opening next month, and I'm going to go down and check it out. Because we're looking, I need a place to do the RSS Cloud Meetup on the West Coast, because we did the one in New York last week, and just sort of looking around, I happen to trip across this thing, and it seems like everybody but me knows about it. So it's Berkeley's a good place for that kind of stuff. But this isn't like, this is a very deliberative sort of thing. I'll post a link to it in the notes. So
cool. Hey Dave, aren't you running a Berkeley specific blog now too? I know I don't want to cross pollinate too much between this and your other podcast, but I haven't had a chance to look at it yet, and I bet some of the listeners here would enjoy. Take a look at it as well too.
In Berkeley.com. It's off to a pretty good start. I think we've got like about 8 to 10 people writing for it now, and it's sort of feeling our way through it. It's I've never worked on a group blog like that before, so
we've got something similar called Our PDX up in Portland. Very group-oriented, and then we've got probably the leading tech blog in Portland is called Silicon Florist, where we've got loads and loads of startups up here, and lots of open source, lots of people who love RSS, stuff like that, and Silicon Florist is the best place to learn about those startups.
I love RSS, too, now.
That's good. That's good. Is in Berkeley indexed yet by Outside In? Are you familiar? Have you looked at Outside?
I'm not really that familiar. I mean, I'm aware that it was started a year ago. I don't really know. Tell me about it. What should they be?
Oh man, it's awesome. I love it. So it's outside.in is the link, and it's a hyper-local news aggregator. You provide a neighborhood name or a city or a state or a zip code, or you'd pull out your iPhone and use their iPhone app and they'll geolocate you. And they through algorithmic magic, create a real nice looking little like newspaper type website that shows all the local blogs, local news coverage, neighborhood association meeting notes, all kinds of things.
Where do they get, what's their source of, where do they get it from?
Oh, just off the web. They go out and index the heck out of the web, but with a really smart criteria for determining which neighborhood a local blog post is about. It's incredible. It was really fun to use the iPhone app when we were out hunting for a house because you'd get the very neighborhood-specific news every mile or two you'd moved in Portland. It was awesome.
Really? So how would that? What was the practical application when you're hunting for a house? You'd get news like crime rate goes up in this neighborhood, so you turn around and go somewhere else. Or
well, you know, no, not explicitly, but you could. Oh, like we were looking at one house, for example, and I saw that there was a beautiful looking group ceramic studio down the road that was having their once a year open house that weekend. And so we, as part of our plans, planned to walk around the neighborhood and make sure to go check out that. And we wouldn't have known otherwise. And we got to read neighborhood association meeting notes that really, it's a wonderfully practical application, in fact.
Isn't it? It's like when you move into a neighborhood, it's only after you move in that you really find out, you know, who else lives there and what it's
all
like.
Too often.
Yeah.
All too often. Well, if you use any of the geolocation services, even BrightKite, I was amazed to find out, is quite popular here in Portland. I'm able to learn about all kinds of spots within a couple miles of my new house because people that I have never even met that I didn't know existed have checked in from those locations on BrightKite and posted notes and photos
and
stuff.
That reminds me of something. There's a site that I keep hearing about. They have mayors of things, and do you know what I'm talking about?
Foursquare?
Yeah, Foursquare. Are you on that?
I'm not, no. Some people down in the Bay, I guess, say that it's so hot that it's cliche now.
It's pretty hot, yeah. I can see that this is sort of looking, it sort of has the feel that that Twitter had in the early days. And I was, you know, I signed up on Twitter really early, but I didn't start using it right off the bat, you know. And then you could sort of get the feeling that, like, so many people were using it that, you know, you better go check it out. And that one certainly has that, Foursquare has that feeling to it, you know, which is kind of nice because I think the guy who did it was the guy who did Dodgeball. And Dodgeball was sort of like the early precursor of, like, all this stuff. And like a lot of those things, it didn't take off as quickly as, you know, the later thing, like Twitter. You know, which is sort of like the question. I have this down on my list for today. It's my item number 6 on my list, but it's in the biggest, you know, made it the biggest one is, like, what comes after Twitter? At some point, you know, and what's nice is that we've been talking for almost 10 minutes now. We haven't talked about Twitter yet until I brought it up.
Oh, I know. Well, I was thinking at it 3 minutes.
Were you really?
I almost said something.
Well, I beat you to it. Foursquare is sort of like, maybe that is the answer to the question of what comes next. The only problem I had with it, I mean, I did sign up, I have an account and everything, but it's
so just
like,
for reference, this is at playfoursquare.com,
right? Playfoursquare.com, right. And is that it does seem to be entirely SMS. And, you know, I'm not really, I use SMS, but I'm sort of reluctant to really dive into, you know, live on SMS. You know, I'm sort of not crazy about it, you know, because I'm not crazy about my iPhone, you know.
Yeah. Have you tried BrightKite?
I have enough. I have an account, but you know, I'm one of those guys that doesn't like to geolocate himself to all these other people. I really, you know, kind of, I've had some issues with people showing up at my house, you know, and people who read my blog, and, you know, they, so far nobody's been unfriendly, but it's like,
yeah.
I really don't want them coming to see me physically. I'd rather have my friends come see me, but just, you know, it's not like Scoble. I don't understand. Scoble publishes his phone number, you know? You talk about
Well, I've got my phone number up too on my, and I know I'm no Scoble, but I've got my phone number right on the sidebar of my blog.
You're no Scoble? Can I quote you on that?
Sure,
that's
yeah.
Sort of like,
oh, he...
That's like that line that Walter Mondale, no, it wasn't Walter Mondale. Who was it? It was the guy, Lloyd Benson, said to Dan Quayle, I knew Jack Kennedy, but you're no Jack Kennedy, right? So I know Robert Scoble. Robert Scoble's a friend of mine. Well, yeah, you're not a Robert Scoble. I like Robert Scoble, but I'm glad you're not Robert Scoble, you know?
Oh, me too. Man, he dumped more friends this week than I have ever had in my life combined.
Come, yeah, you know, talk about coming to Jesus. I mean, that was, you know, I always kind of knew that Scoble could not possibly be really following that many people and getting the value out of it. I mean, he was following 100,000 people or something.
Uh huh. Yeah, that's how many people live in the town that I grew up in.
Yeah.
And Robert Scoble was watching every one of their sneezes on Twitter.
Yeah. Well, no, see, that's what he would have you believe, but I don't think he was. I went to a baseball game with Jesse Stay. Do you know Jesse? Yeah. And so he, I, and Alan Levy from Blog Talk Radio and my mother went to a baseball game in New York. And no, my mom loves baseball, and so it was, like,
cool.
It was really a nice group of people, and we had a really good time. And Jesse is a consultant, I think, and he consults with companies who are on Twitter. And one of the things he says is that they want to follow back everybody, you know. And so, but they're hit by this limit that they can only follow 1,000 people a day. And I really think I'm kind of appalled by that, you know. It's because, first of all, the idea of a corporation like Starbucks, for example, following a person, it doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, corporations, how can a corporation follow a person? What does that mean?
Well, it's kind of creepy, but,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one of the questions that that corporations on Twitter, one of the first questions that they wrestle with, I think, is whether they create an account for their corporate brand or whether they have individuals represent the company, but as individuals. You know, Lucia Willow, the community manager at Pandora, told me in an interview a while ago that the best thing she ever did on Twitter was take down the Pandora logo as her avatar and put up a picture of her own face. And she said that the response was just incredible and communication is way more fluid and she's able to use Twitter a lot more effectively now.
I think that's right. I think that if you sort of like apply a sort of basic, you know, let's get real type test to a question like that is, how could a corporation, you know, be on Twitter? What does it mean for a corporation to be on Twitter? It doesn't mean anything.
Well,
I mean,
it can mean lots of different things. I love the fact that our local newspaper publishes
yeah.
their RSS feed to Twitter.
Yeah, of course. I take that back. That on the publishing side, I guess it makes sense, right? I mean, then you're using Twitter as sort of an RSS reader, right?
Yeah, sure. As one of many. I think lots of people do that, though.
Yeah. Did you read the tech? You must have read the TechCrunch piece, right? Where,
I didn't. I feel terrible.
You didn't read the TechCrunch piece where the expose?
No.
You never read it, Marshall?
Which one? Oh, the RSS is dead one?
No. Okay. I'm talking about the one where they, the Twittergate thing, where they were.
Oh, of course I did.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Of course you did. Right. So their whole thing was, one of the things was, well, we don't want Twitter to be an RSS reader, right? And
mm-hmm.
So I kind of got caught up in that and wondering, you know, I guess so. I wasn't thinking about it in those terms. I kind of use it that way, but I don't really use it that way. I have feeds coming in, but I can't say I pay a whole lot of attention to it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of
You know, it's funny. They go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, they said they don't want it to be used as an RSS reader. They said they don't want it to be used as an alert system. I mean, I saw some mention of that. I'd really like to dig a little deeper there. And yet, when I wrote a story a while ago saying, why isn't there anyone on Twitter on Twitter staff that uses Twitter the way I use Twitter, does that mean I should be worried about my use patterns? they came back and said, hey, there's no one right way to use Twitter. There's a million different ways to use Twitter. But apparently behind the scenes, they're saying it's not an RSS reader and it's not an alert system.
Is that making you feel weird? Yeah, it's weird. Yeah.
It is weird. So who knows what's going to come next after it, but there are people working on it, huh? And so how's the push button coming? Are you getting your button pushed?
Well, that's Anil's phrase. I mean, I understand what he's saying, but I don't think of it that way. I mean, my buttons are, but however, you know, I'm very happy with the way it's going. We've got a really nice group of developers, and it, in a way, it feels like it's the second time around for RSS, and so I'm getting to do things right that didn't happen right the first time around. For example, we have a mail list on Yahoo Groups called RSS Cloud, and one of the guys there today said, you know, maybe we should, like, pay attention to TTL, which is an element. You asked me this last week. What other elements are there in RSS that we should be looking for and looking at, right? And
mm-hmm.
And so he said, well, why don't we, like, really get serious about TTL and skip hours and skip days? And he gave a use case for all these things. And after saying in the podcast last week that we ought to, you know, I don't see any applications for skip hours and skip days. Sort of like
but time to live.
Yeah. Oh well, TTL, right? Time to live, and skip hours and skip days. We're gonna do it, and I'm gonna make River 2 very carefully adhere to those. So if a feed says don't read me on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I will not read them on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And if they say don't read me at, you know, except. Like, for example, I'll give you a good case in point, okay? I've got a channel on Twitter called Friends of Dave. And what Friends of Dave is a feed reader for the feeds that for personal friends of mine that I don't want to miss a single one of their posts. That's the way I define it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so some of these people aren't actually even people that I know personally. So, like, Paul Krugman, you know, he has a blog at the New York Times, and I don't want to miss a single thing he says. Or Nate Silver at 5whateverit.com, 548, 538, I forget what it is.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, my feed reader knows how to get it. And, okay, and I also have Meet the Press and Face the Nation and On the Media and, you know, a few other podcasts, right? Well, what's the point of reading Meet the Press on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? Because it only ever updates on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not like that's going to jam up the internet and kill everything, you know. But what, right? I mean, you know, who gives a,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, all these things are kind of optimized. But really, it kind of bothers me. Why shouldn't the feed tell me that, you know, we know for a fact that we only update this on Sunday, so would you please leave us alone every other day of the week? And so we're going to do it. We're going to do it this time. And
mm-hmm.
It turns out that it's actually not a bad idea for the feed to tell us, you know, specifically when you should be checking on me, because we're going to have to, even if we get super real time and we have cloud elements in every feed and we're connected into a cloud and it's all working reliably, we're still going to poll. We're still going to be checking those feeds every once in a while, just in case the cloud element changed or just in case somehow we lost connection with the cloud, we're still going to be polling. And so it was suggested, why don't we optimize this? And I'm going, yep, why don't we? You know, we can do it now. Because things
mm-hmm.
are going to, we're taking sort of a long-term view on this. So.
Well, I know that you've mentioned in the past that once the RSS 2.0 spec was done, you kind of had to tell people in a loud voice, look, or just before it was done, hey, it's going to be done soon, and once it's done, it's done. So speak now or forever hold your peace, right?
Yeah, good luck with that.
Because
it was like Flame City the whole time. I mean, we had to freeze it because of all the flames. I mean, you know, I mean, it would have been...
But now you kind of got a new opportunity.
knock wood, you know, I hope so. I mean, so far, you know, the trolls are not there, and, you know, and the people are, they're all really, you know, everybody's working together really nicely, and I'm liking it. It's really feeling good. And so, you know, it's bootstrapping for another application, you know. It's a 140-character application. Yeah, no, it's good. I like it.
Well, I was real excited to hear Anil talk last week about other applications beyond the Twitter-ness of all this. And maybe we should, or maybe I'm not really building anything, but maybe the focus should be on building a messaging system a la Twitter. But that prospect of subscribing to dynamic feeds in a spreadsheet cell so that updates are automatically brought in,
mm-hmm.
really got my imagination excited.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I got to tell you, I'm not just doing it for the 140-character web. In fact, one of the things that came up at the meeting was, you know, bootstrapping a let me just tell you what I've done. I added a cloud element to the feed for this podcast. So people will be able to real-time subscribe to this. So the instant that there is a new podcast available on the Bad Hair Day channel, they will have it in their aggregator.
Very cool. Aggregator.
It's cloud aware. So I'm sort of like going and cherry picking individual things that I'm doing just to get the experience with them and hook
uh-huh.
them into a cloud. And so I had these sitting there, and this afternoon I had a few minutes, and I just hooked them in. So if you can code up your aggregator really quickly, we still have, you know, a couple of hours before it shows up in the feed. So maybe somebody's listening. You know what? I don't doubt that somebody will do it, by the way.
That's awesome. So I remember, Dave, in other contexts, you have said, you've told me that you like to approach software as if you were, you try to record your observations when you explore new software at the first time so that you can go back later when you're more jaded and experienced or what have you and see and remember what that first-time user experience is like.
Yeah,
I think that's fascinating. And are you going through a similar process here while trying out implementation of cloud in different applications?
Well, yeah, it's all on Scripting News. I mean, scripting, you know, I mean, and it's proven to be really valuable now. I mean, it's an exciting time because there actually are people working on the history of, you know, going back, you know, to 97. There are people working on reconstructing the sequence of events that sort of, you know, where blogging got started, right? And at the time, you know, I sort of felt like what we were doing was, you know, was going to be looked at later. So I took my notes accordingly, and it's turning out to have been useful for people to have, you know, I mean, because what I did on Scripting News was I also pointed to everybody else, and so I wasn't just recording my own experiences. I was sort of trying to record everybody else's too. So that I would point to other people, you know, that were like, for example, Chris Gulker was a very, very early blogger, and he was doing stuff. I think he was the first guy to put up a blog roll, basically. And so that's there in the archive of Scripting News. So the loop is sort of closed. There's also been, I don't know if we talked about this last week, but the podcast patent thing. We didn't. Okay. Well, we should talk about it because that's another example where it was good that, you know, when Adam Curry and I were working on this stuff in 2000 and 2001 and 2002, you know, all the way through to 2005, every year we were doing something with podcasting, you know. And it wasn't really until 2004 that it took off. And so now there's this company that filed a patent claiming that they invented podcasting in 2003. And just having all the notes there in the archives is going to be valuable as totally as prior art. I mean, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's data, you know. There's the, you know, where's your blog showing when you invented this stuff? So, you know.
You know, that's just one more benefit on the list, I think, to participating in these kinds of conversations, be it blogging or Twittering or what have you. And it makes me shake my head all the more about this study that I wrote about this week, where a fellow from the University of Singapore, I believe, wrote an article in one of the recent issues of Science Magazine, raising the concern that tech evolution or radical changes in the technology world were going to be inhibited by the groupthink fostered by overly large social networks. And he said, you know, we may need to break up social networks and get freaky geeks in more isolated places so they can come up with radical ideas without it getting shot down or co-opted or what have you until those ideas are in a better position to solidify and go see the light of day.
What's the mechanism for that? I mean, why would the ideas? I mean, you know, I don't use Facebook so much, so I don't really understand. I certainly don't use MySpace. So, what's he thinking about? I mean, I don't think Twitter has that problem. I mean, I could post an idea on Twitter, but I don't think anybody could shout it down. How would they shout it down?
Oh, well, you are probably an unusually strong personality that wouldn't be, and you've had enough success at this point with coming up with crazy ideas, that a whole bunch of at messages and, you know, dismissive
mm-hmm.
feedback isn't gonna derail you. But his argument is that that people run the risk of lesser minds derailing their radical innovation when everyone's chattering about their thoughts all day long.
Well, people have to have a little bit of courage to, you know, believe. They have to believe in themselves, you know. I suppose. I mean, you know, I guess everybody's subject to criticism. Are you that way? I mean, if somebody says, you know, that article really sucked, Marshall, you know, don't ever do that again. What does that, like, make you not want to do it?
Well, I get called some pretty nasty things on a pretty regular basis, but when those insults come with valid concerns, you know, sometimes that's probably something that I wrestle with a little bit. You know, my own sensitivities combined with some valid concerns can probably sometimes knock me back on my heels a little bit further
than. You seem like a pretty steady guy. I mean, you know, I have never heard you get flapped. I wouldn't say you're unflappable, but I've never seen you get sort of uptight or flapped.
Yeah, I am a Libra.
What does that mean?
So, it means I've got a pretty even keel.
Your keel is. Where are you from? Are you from Portland originally?
From Oregon. From Eugene.
From Eugene. Got it. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So, well, it's, you know, you have to be relatively. I think you have to have a combination of both. A steady manner and the ability to get a little worked up and excited about ideas, especially in order to blog with a big audience.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got a list someplace of all the nasty insults that have been called.
Really? Well, don't believe any of it. You're a good guy, Marshall. You shouldn't believe any of it. So let it in.
So,
hey, have you tried Grizzly? Are you one of the guys that tried that?
Yeah, I looked at that. So this is Jason Schellen.
Yeah, me too. Right. I got a test account with it too.
He was one of the developers of Google Reader, and now he's got this private beta Twitter client that's getting a bunch of hype. And I thought it looked nice. I thought it handled pretty well for a web app. But its key differentiators, he says, are inline display of photos and videos that get linked to, and group creation, and a list of trending topics with links to explanations about what those what those phrases mean all in the sidebar. And almost all that stuff I already get through Grease Monkey or Power Twitter or Twitter clients, and it really didn't move the needle for me.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think?
Yeah, I have to say the same thing here, too. Although I want to like it. I really want to like it. I can't just switch to it, though. This is one of the things I send them some feedback, because they've moved around some pretty basic elements, you know, like where the various different tabs are and commands and stuff. They put stuff on the left that in the Twitter web client, which is what I primarily use, is on the right. And, you know, you go, why? Why move those things, you know? I mean, it doesn't seem to be any advantage putting them on the left or the right, except it makes it very hard for me to use both, you know? I mean, I could switch, right? In other words, if I said, okay, I'm going to use Brizzly all the time now, so I would suffer for a few days, and I'd get used to it, and that would be that, right? But I'm not in any way, shape, or form ready to do that, right? So they hurt themselves by making it an uncomfortable switch. In other words, when you do these things, it seems that you have to be, that continuity matters a lot. You know, and then sort of like, you know, just gratuitous incompatibility is not a good idea. You know, if there were really a good reason, a real good advantage, or made it more powerful to do it that way, sure, why not do it? But I don't get it, you know. The other thing is they expand the shortened URLs, and I don't like it. It makes, you know, everything they do sort of like makes things bigger, you know. And there's a lot of trade-off with that. Because if things take up more vertical space, then you get less items on the screen, right? And that's, you're giving something up there, you know. I'll tell you another thing I didn't like. we're on this, you know, is that it refreshes the display. I can't control it, so it adds new items at the top. So I'm looking through, and this actually happened. I was looking for a tweet that Laughing Squid had posted because he was real-time evaluating, and I was curious. I had seen it scroll by, and I wanted to actually read what he said. I couldn't actually get it onto my screen long enough so I could read it.
Wow.
Well, you know, and that's where this whole real-time thing becomes kind of a gimmick, you know? It really is not a good user experience. Now, you know, the other thing is, understand, of course, this is they're asking us to evaluate a product, right? And this is the first release. Of course, I'm inclined to say, okay, you know, I'm going to keep looking at it because I want to encourage people to do this, you know?
I think it's a what the hottest new real-time app of the week has been, though?
Pardon me?
The hottest app in this week, the hottest new app this week in the real-time space, as far as I'm concerned, is the Breaking News Online iPhone app.
I'm not familiar with that.
Are you familiar with the Breaking News Online guys?
Nope.
It's a really bizarre.
My door, if you can believe it, and I think they're just selling something.
Really, really bizarre story. The guy that runs this organization is Dutch, and he's 19 now. But a couple of years ago.
Oh, I did hear about this. Yeah.
Yeah, really weird.
19-year-old news entrepreneur. Yeah.
He got his hands on an Osama bin Laden videotape and sold it to Reuters and used that to bankroll this loosely coupled international network of super short news reporters. They do some aggregation and do some original news reporting, and they are just fast as can be. I mean, they're incredible. They're super, super fast. They've got
what
people
do you mean
on
they're
every
fast? Time. What does that mean? In other words, the story breaks and they get the report done in no time whatsoever?
Yep. And they find things. They do a fair amount of original reporting. I think that they're doing things like scraping feeds from government agencies.
Huh.
And I think they're doing some interesting stuff. And they're best known for their Twitter account, at Breaking News. It's got hundreds of thousands of followers, and I don't think has ever been on the suggested user list. It's not now.
Wow.
Pretty remarkable. And they just came out with an iPhone app that does push. does push for super high priority stuff, or you can lower the threshold. You can tell it what hours of the day you want it to shut off and stuff like that. But when Clinton freed the two journalists from North Korea, I found out about it an hour before anybody else I knew found out about it, and I was eating lunch at the time. I wasn't even watching my computer. I just got a buzz on my phone.
In other words, you found out before anything had appeared on Twitter?
You know, I imagine they probably pushed to Twitter and to the iPhone app at the same time.
Well, yeah, it's hard to imagine there could possibly be a lag there because, you know,
that's the advantage of push on iPhone, or push anywhere, you know, but that's where it is right now. It's where I've got it, is that I was eating lunch and not reading Twitter.
Right.
Or even, you know, when I'm using another application sometimes, my phone will buzz and I'll see, wow, really high priority news, world news. Just got pushed to my phone.
So are they charging for any of this stuff? Or
they are. That's another interesting part of the story. The app costs $2 to buy, and then they are going to charge a $1 a month subscription fee.
Wow, interesting.
Recurring revenue. Yeah.
And, you know, I asked that because Rupert Murdoch announced today that all of his properties are going to, all the News Corp, you know, websites are all going to be behind a paywall by this time next year. So, I mean, that's like, you know, I didn't have an expectation when I asked that question. And I was kind of hoping that you'd say no, but then again, I don't really care. Actually, I think it's interesting that they are doing it, you know. And so did you pay?
You know, I got a free press review copy, but I'll have to pay the dollar a month subscription, and I sure will.
A dollar a month is nothing, of course, right? I mean, why wouldn't you pay a dollar a month?
Oh, yeah. People complain.
You go to Pete's Coffee, and I buy a cup of coffee. It costs $2, right? And, you know, that's a cup of coffee.
Coffee is good, but it's not like, you know.
Well, I love the idea of a 19-year-old kid who finances his company with an Osama bin Laden video.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you almost kind of want to write a book about that, right? It's like, you know, there's hope for the world after all, right? I mean, there are 19-year-old kids doing stuff like that. That's great, you know?
It's incredible, and it's just a fascinating story. He originally
I want to ask you another question, okay? So do you want to go work for this guy?
No, I don't.
You don't get the impulse of saying, well, that's where the hot, because you're a news guy, right? I mean, so, and you're young, I think.
I'm 32. I'm 32.
You're older than 19.
I'm still trying to explore lots of different types. I wouldn't even say I'm a news guy, I don't know how to describe my own career, and I'm still exploring it. Lately, I've been enjoying doing some more long form, you know, more thoughtful kind of stuff. And I'm real interested
to talk
in that.
About it. Some future podcast. I want to know what your plan is for yourself. What are you going to be doing like 10 years from now?
We could certainly talk about that.
Yeah. And not now. We've got 7 minutes left. So I want to make sure we had plenty of time to do that. So,
that's sweet.
So a friend of yours said we should just do this. We should probably talk, you know, explain a little bit. I mean, there are no guests here today, right? It was Alex Williams, I think.
It sure was.
Podcast Hotel, and he's a great guy. So he said, what did he say?
He said, I've been listening to all your shows. I have really enjoyed them, but the ones that I've enjoyed the most are when it's just you and Dave.
Interesting.
He said, you guys are both real well informed, and it's a lot of fun to hear the two of you interact.
We should try to. I would solicit more of that kind of feedback from people. You know, so if anybody's listening to this, if you have an opinion about it, because we've just now more or less done the whole show just with, you know, Marshall and myself, right? And so the question is, what do you think? I mean, I do want to have guests on here because there are.
Oh, I think so too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I'm not sure what the right format is. I also want to have guests on. Rebooting the news, but we haven't quite figured that one out yet because we're sort of, you know, still. And I think it's cool that we do this, you know, this way because we're still figuring this one out too, right? I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, I'm actually kind of thrilled about some of the results we've already had with this podcast. Like I put up a post, I think it was last week or something, and in the first 5 minutes there were comments from four people who had been on this show, you know. And I thought, wow, it's really working. I mean, that's good for me because you and Doc and Kevin and Anil and, you know, the types of people and Steve Rubel, I'm sure I'm leaving somebody out, right?
Chris Sod.
Right, and Chris.
He was
yeah,
one of those
Chris
commenters.
One of the guys, yeah, who had commented. These are exactly the kinds of people that I want to interact with on a daily basis. You know, and sort of my formula for the show is, you know, just bring in the people that, you know, that I want to be, you know, working with, basically. You know, I want their ideas. I want to contribute to, you know, their careers and their work. Because I think that, you know, we talk on other podcasts about rebooting the news. I think this is the other side of it, is like, you know, is making an investment in the relationships for the people who you believe in, you know, people you think will be making the next generation, the rebooted news, you know, whether they're the people who will report it or the people who will make it, you know.
So. You know, that makes good sense to me. I know Gina Trapani and Leah Laporte's new podcast, though, The Week in Google, has raced to the top of the iTunes chart.
Really?
Yep. So I think our effort to compete is...
But we need to get to the top of some of those charts, too, right? I mean, right?
You're a competitive guy, right? In some settings I am, and in some settings I am not. And I think, actually, that the way you described the consequences of the show and that some of the benefits that we're getting out of it already would be, I think that's real valuable stuff. And I would never want us to get into a position where we're making decisions that cost us in that column,
but
we're a win in a, you know, in a column like audience size.
You know, you're absolutely right. I'm kind of, this is one of the reluctances, you know, Leah Laporte heard, and Leo's a great guy, and I don't want to, I didn't want to be critical in any way. He heard the last episode of Rebooting the News and said openly that he would love to get it on his network. And I'm going to go meet with him in Petaluma because we're, you know,
cool.
40 minutes away from here. So it's a shame. We should obviously do face-to-face. But one of my concerns there is that, you know, you take something like Rebooting the News that works so well as kind of, I mean, we've got this incredible group of people that are listening to it every week, and these are, again, these are really important people to be influencing, you know. The thoughts that we get back are, you know, I mean, the thing just gets better all the time. But if you go in, like, really get massive, one time I was on Leo's show, I got flamed so thoroughly. Everybody said, well, who does that guy think he is, you know?
How funny.
I guess I don't fit in. I'm not, like, humble enough, I guess. But I was literally confused because I thought I was on my best behavior, Marshall. Not liking some of these other things, you know.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, different. Yeah, Leo's shows, I think, they're real different. And good for him.
Really, what? I missed that. They came, you know, they have the voice that comes in and tells me how long there is left. So I didn't hear what you said. I
said his shows are real different, but yeah, good for him. I think that could be interesting. Yeah, we've just got a couple of minutes left here in the show. You want to hear something funny?
Yeah, of course. No, I don't. I don't like funny things, Marshall. Haven't I told you? No, of course I do.
Yes. It's hard to laugh when your hair is such a mess. I understand. Twitter search is not only down as it's been down all day. The screen says you have been rate limited. Enhance your calm. And
enhance your what?
Your calm. There's an API rate limit apparently on Twitter search, and but it's not me because I've got 20,000 API calls an hour. I'm allowed because I asked for it as a journalist so I could review multiple Twitter apps at once without.
I'm not getting that. It's working fine for me.
Are you really?
Yeah, I think they're discriminating against you, Marshall. I think they decided they don't like you anymore.
I'm going to blog about this, Dave. I'm gonna write an
angry
blog.
Hey, we
got to
go, man. 10 seconds left. So it's been, hopefully your hair gets better and, you know, we get it all straightened out, man. I'll see you next week.
There you go. Sounds great.
Okay, Marshall. Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye, Dave.